Exodus 36 and Paul's letter to the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 had a lot to do about giving. As we look at the place Bethany today, and this is the road to Bethany, the Oscars usually take place in a couple weeks, and we look forward to them every year, but this year it's postponed until April, if at all. I've always enjoyed watching the new films that come out and as the Oscars nominate them. And usually I like most of all the foreign film category. In 1988, there was a Dutch film that won the foreign film category award. And the title of the movie was Babette's Feast. Maybe you read the book. The book was written by Karen Blixen, who authored many books under the name, a pen name of Isaac Dennison. She authored also the book and the movie Out of Africa. Well, Babette's Feast is a movie about Babette, who was one of the most talented chefs in Paris. And one day, the authorities kick Babette out of Paris, so she moves to a Danish fishing village, whose small religious community is full of hard-hearted people. The community is marked by one word. The word is get. Get ahead, get back, get even, and whatever you do, get revenge. The community takes Babette in and she serves as their maid and cook. They only want her to serve bland food though, because that's all they really know. That's what happens when people are driven by the word get. Life is bland and very vanilla, very bland, and they usually don't care about taste or character or quality of the food. They just want quantity and get more of it. Get it. Well, one day, another word broadsides this community. Babette wins the lottery in Paris, and so she cooks a feast, and she treats the religious community to a meal of rare delicacies, excellent wine, and some of the best gourmet food in the world. Where these events take place, and the community is restored. Arguments are dropped, past sins are forgiven, and when the evening is finished, they join hands under the stars outside, and they sing the doxology. Thank God, from whom all blessings flow. Babette places the get word with the word give. Babette gives freely, and Babette gives extravagantly, and Babette gives joyfully. Later, though, the community discovers what Babette had really done. She had spent all of her lottery money on the feast, not just a portion of it. They thought that she did, and she was harboring money, but that wasn't the case. In doing so, Babette closes the door to her future. She can never return to Paris, and she can never take up a post as a chef at one of the world's leading restaurants. And why is that? Because Babette chose to give everything to show grace and mercy. Well, we continue our series in sermons called Places of the Passion. And today we walk with Jesus to Bethany. And in Bethany, we meet Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Mary is the Babette of the Bible. Here's the context. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper in Matthew 26, Bethany is just a mile east of Jerusalem. You can walk there from the Mount of Olives. The Jewish Passover is about to begin, and Jesus is in Bethany. Why Bethany? Because there was no room at any hotel in Jerusalem. That kind of sounds familiar. Jerusalem's population at the time of Christ was about 30,000. And during Passover, it would balloon to roughly about 180,000 people. So there was no room for anyone. The city's population would increase six times. And this is why Jesus stayed in Bethany, on the outskirts of Jerusalem during Passover week, or what we know as Holy Week. Who is in Bethany? Simon the leper. His home is where these events take place. Simon has been healed of leprosy, and Someone with active leprosy would not have had a lot of people show up at his home for dinner. But Jesus is there in Simon's house, and so are all of the disciples, and so is Mary. Normally, women wouldn't join men in public events like this. They would stay on the periphery, but that's a shock to begin with. Mary is there, the Babette of the Bible, and she's ready to teach us about one of the greatest words in the world, give. That's the context. Here's the cost. John says, a woman tells us that the woman is Mary in John 12:3. A woman came up to him with an alabaster flask, a very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. Matthew 26:7. How much did perfume cost back then? We're told in John chapter 12 that it's worth a year's income. A year's income. The average American income today is about $46,000 a year. Imagine dropping $46,000 just like that in an alabaster jar of perfume. As everyone in the room around, the disciples and everyone watch, Mary does two remarkable things. First, she pours out very expensive perfume with total abandon. It's the most valuable thing that Mary has in the house, but she won't keep it. She will not worship it. She won't go and save her money to buy more. She opens it and empties it out to the very last drop. And second, Mary pours it on Jesus' head, not anyone else. The only people in the Old Testament whose heads were regularly anointed were those of kings. You understand, Jesus here is a king. Strike that. Jesus is the King of Kings. That's what was placed on his cross, the King of the Jews. That's the main message of Jesus's of Matthew's gospel here, is that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Matthew 21, verse 5, Jesus refers to Jesus with these same words. See, your King comes to you. Matthew 27 records the sign above the Savior's head while he dies on the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, because Jesus is the King. Mary replaces get with give. The context is Bethany during the Passover week. The cost is everything. The comparison is between Mary and the disciples. Mary is extravagant. Mary is excessive. Mary goes way over the top. And the disciples? Well, our text says when the disciples saw it, they were indignant and they said, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum of money and given to the poor. The disciples feel threatened. Their entire world comes crashing down. The disciples were angry, mad. They were upset. All because Mary lives by one word, get. Or give, and the disciples by the word get. The comparison couldn't be more striking. Mary is generous, and the disciples are greedy. Mary gives with abandon. The disciples are miserly. Mary sacrifices financially, and the disciples won't give a nickel. Mary shows her faith with actions, but the disciples talk a good game, giving money to the poor. But we know they don't mean it. Mary loves the word give, but all the disciples can do is get more, get ahead, get on top. Which one will sit beside you in your kingdom? The cross. Jesus is aware of this and said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. In pouring this ointment out on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Beautiful? Prepare him for the cross? Mary knew about the verses in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 1:21, Matthew says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save him from his people from their sins. And in Matthew chapter 20, he writes, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in Matthew 26, Matthew again writes, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So in pouring this ointment on my body, Jesus says, she has done it to prepare me for burial. For burial. Burial, of course, implies death. And what a death it would be for Jesus. Betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, sentenced by Pilate, scourged by soldiers, mocked by the crowds, abandoned by his father. Christ's death pays for all sins. He gives his life for all people, for all time. All sin, all people, all time. Mary gives Jesus everything that she has. Mary prepares Jesus to give everything that he has. And the room is filled with the smell of costly perfume. Smells are powerful. I have a great smell memory. I can remember smells and immediately identify the places that I have been from where I know those smells. Smells transport us with pictures and sentiment and feelings. Perhaps the smell of a rose catches your nose and suddenly you may remember your first date, your first love, when your date brought you a dozen roses, or maybe you were the one buying the roses. Maybe it's the scent of your grandmother's perfume, and memories of our grandmother come flooding back. In a Christmas episode of the sitcom Big Bang Theory, Sheldon's girlfriend Amy bakes him his grandma's cookies, and he remarks, "They taste like my grandma's hugs." Well, that's because while words go to the thinking part of the brain, smells go to the emotional part of your brain that remembers events, emotions, and feelings. That's why a taste of cookies brings back memories and emotions of grandma and her hugs. Smells can stir in us some very powerful emotions. And that's also true for Jesus here. Mary's strong perfume lingers with Jesus throughout Holy Week as he makes his way to the cross, marking him with one word, give. Matthew 26:13 says, "Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." The story's going to stick. The smell lingers on. Because the kingdom of God isn't about hoarding and stockpiling. The kingdom of God isn't about being chintzy and cheap. The kingdom of God isn't about comfortable pews and $100,000 organs or 50-person choirs. The kingdom of God isn't about get and have. Get and have will kill us as we fight over it. Always and forevermore, God's kingdom is about one word, give. Give. There's not a big difference between smells and tastes. Whereas the smell of the perfume that Mary uses lingers on in the minds of the disciples, making them marvel at her giving and our Savior's sacrificial giving, so the feast that Babette prepares does somewhat the same thing. Through taste, as the guests of the town receive her gift and get what was so unexpected and unfamiliar in their bicker and Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and Mary, the Babette of the Bible, they show us the kingdom of God is about giving lavishly, giving generously, giving joyfully, and giving completely. Jesus said, "Wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus never says this about anyone else in the Bible. Thanks to Mary, we can boil down life to one simple word. One word with one syllable, one powerful and life-changing word, give. Thanks to Mary, we recognize our Savior's giving and sacrifice, where we find grace, mercy, forgiveness, and righteousness as a gift, undeserved, granted. Try it out. Giving will change everything. It will create so much joy for you. You know, it's the most powerful word on the planet, give. Live as a child of God whose Holy Spirit dwells within you, who makes you a new creation, to walk in Jesus' footsteps, to give of yourself, to give of your love, to give grace, to give mercy, to give peace, as a gift which you have been given in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our faith together with all